By Jesus, everything consists. That is, by Jesus, everything is held together. And even before the world was formed, the scripture says Jesus was there. And the scripture further tells us that there was nothing made that was not made with Jesus. And before it all came to be, there was Jesus. Before we came, there was Jesus. After we go, there'll be Jesus. Because the scripture says that he's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. And all things in between for each one of our Alpha and Omegas consist by Jesus. You know, we sang this morning, Jesus Saves. We sang this morning the story that we want to tell to the nation, that Jesus saves. And all the things that Jesus does, he does because he loves you. And he wants us to know today, through the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 2, that he wants to adhere all of the various areas of our life that seem fragmented. And you know what I'm talking about now, don't you? In your own personal life, those areas that are just like a jigsaw puzzle over here and over there, he wants to bring them together. He wants to do for you like we did for a little small whatnot recently that was dropped on the floor and broken. We picked up the two pieces and we adhesed them together. And now it would take a very scrutinizing eye to see where the crack was made. This is what Jesus does. Our life is full of cracks. This is why we can call him, in all reverence, the super glue man, because he comes in where others fail.
Dr. Carlson, I'm sorry I'm a little late this morning, but I didn't sleep very good last night. I did have the dream, but the dream was much later. In fact, it was just before I got up. The cocoon opened up, and out of this cocoon on this plateau came a woman. I've never seen her before. She was tall. She has long, straight black hair. Very fair, white skin. The skin just white as snow. And as she came out of this cocoon, this ball that's on the floor was weeping so loudly that you could hardly hear anyone saying amen. Now when this woman stepped out of this cocoon, everything was totally quiet except for the sobbing of this ball that's on the floor. And God's light was bright, but when the woman came out, it got dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. The only thing that was light was Jesus Christ that you could not look at. And no one said anything. You wanted to. I wanted to say something, but I couldn't. No one said anything, except you could hear the moaning cries underneath. I've prayed so hard this morning. And I praise his name so much. And I pray for wisdom and knowledge to understand this. I didn't even see your son in the dream. And I didn't see that. Oh, you, this woman, as she stepped out of the cocoon. I don't know what the ball is. I know it leaves tears all on the floor, or wet as it goes and it's getting larger.
but through something very special, they were brought together. Paul says that we have been brought together by his, that is, the body of Jesus on the cross. And don't you recall that when Jesus gave up the ghost on that cross, when he died, something very significantly happened in the temple. The veil was rent in two pieces. And as it was rent, the barrier, that which had divided the two areas of the temple now, was no longer there. By his death, something very special happened. And the barrier was broken. Now, this barrier of which Paul speaks was the barrier in the temple. The barriers were many, not just a veil, but there were many barriers because the temple consisted of a lot of individual courts. As you first entered the temple as such, you entered into the court of the Gentiles. Gentiles and Jewish people alike could enter into this court, but the Jewish people could pass through the barrier and go to the next court, which was called the court of the women. And then there was the court of the Israelites, and each court was higher than the other court. And after the court of the Israelites, there was the court of the priests, and then there was the Holy of Holies itself. But only into the first court could the Gentile come. Paul is saying that by the death of Christ, something uniquely happened in that the Gentile passes into something more reverently. Now, there was a barrier between the court of the Gentile and the court of the women. The barrier was made out of marble up to a certain height, and then there was lattice work higher. And there were plaques all along the wall, all around the temple, saying, "Beware, if a Gentile passes these walls, instant death will ensue." As a matter of fact, one of these plaques have recently been discovered, and that's exactly what it says, that the Gentile can no longer pass this barrier. If they do, they are liable to instant death. Now, Paul was aware of this. In fact, his final imprisonment leading to his death was due, in fact, to bringing a Gentile past the barrier. We can read about that in the book of Acts. So then, this intervening wall was a barrier. It was an impassable barrier, and it shut the Gentiles out. It shut them out from the presence of God, because the temple was regarded as the presence of God. Now, Paul is saying here that barriers must come down so that God can unite the two. Now, that's good as far as history is concerned. In history, there were barriers. The Greeks put up barriers between the people who were not Greeks, and they called them barbarians. The Dutch people had a proverb that said, "Unknown makes unloved." Unknown makes unloved, and they set up barriers. But the barriers that were set up in years gone by are still set up today between people, between spouses, between children and parents, between Christians within churches, between citizens of a community. And not just ancient are these barriers. You see, there is just enough room for all the people in the world. There is no room for the fences which divide the people in the world today. There's no room for fences, and yet fences zigzag our countryside. Actually, one person puts up a fence of hedge, another puts up a fence of stone and mortar, another person puts up a picket fence, and all these things have been designed to keep the people out, to keep me in with my property. And while fences look good in certain places, it just points out graphically that we today are people who have erected imaginary fences, barriers that have to come down. And Paul says that the body of Jesus has broken down the barrier. Today, modern progress has made the world a neighborhood, but God wants to make it a brotherhood. And it can't be a brotherhood as long as there are barriers put up. There are barriers in churches today between one Christian and another Christian. There are barriers today in city government. There are barriers today between the citizenry of cities. And the barriers are barriers that have been erected by ignorance, that have been erected by prejudices. And what we must do today is to shake the earth. And you know, you have the power to do that. You can shake the earth anew with the message of the all-inclusive Christ, in whom there is neither bond nor free, Jew or Gentile. All one. So let me suggest to you briefly two things. The first is this. Jesus has come by his body. He has glued us for peace. And the scripture says in verse 15, he is our peace. You know, real peace doesn't come by a legal document. Two families have an argument over something and they hire an attorney. It goes to the court and a legal document is prepared and signed. Now, this does not generally give the assurance of peace. But if a third party, for example, one who is divorced from the situation, one who can be objective about the situation, can be brought in. One person who is not related but who is in sympathy with the other two parties, then something uniquely can happen. Say party A knows of party B, and party A loves party B. Party C knows party B, and party C loves party B. But party A is in enmity with party C. There is a barrier between party A and party C. Then this party who is B, who has gained the right to be heard, who has gained the right to talk, can be the mediator to bring together A and C. And Jesus has done this. Now if Jesus has done this, he's called upon you to do this as Christians. Break down these barriers. And he gives the peace. It is Jesus who does it. Now, the way in which he has done it is, it says here, he has wiped out the law of commandments. You know, the law originally given to us consisted of just 10 commandments. They were in no wise simple, but they were simply 10. The Jewish people expounded upon those 10 commandments and added to them commandments to explain the commandments and commandments on top of the commandments. And there were all sorts of commandments, hundreds of commandments. The Pharisees tried to keep these commandments, but the Pharisees only numbered 6,000 individuals. 6,000 Pharisees, all there were. The other Jewish people tried to live by the law, and there were laws of how to wash your hands, how the dishes could be clean, page after page about what you could do and what you could not do on the Sabbath. An endless list of don'ts. Now Jesus came and destroyed the law. He made an end to the law. Do you recall a month ago or so, the law, we said, was the needle and the thread of the gospel followed. And we need the law like the thread needs the needle. So Jesus came, made an end of the law. Well, he condensed those two commandments, all those commandments into two, and he said, they are, you love God and you love man, and then you fulfill all the duty of the law. The law today is keeping people out of the peace from one another and the peace to God. And that's why Paul says in Romans 10:4, Christ has brought the law to an end so that everyone who believes is put right with God. You see, glued in with God through Jesus. Christ has brought the law to an end. So our salvation is not on the law. Our salvation is on Jesus. And anyone who believes on him is put right with God. You see, both pieces put right together. and it's done through Jesus. He ended legalism as a principle of religion, and what did he put in place? Well, he put in place love. Love to God and love to man. And if we just could get to this love today, barriers would be down, peace would be had, the kingdom would be extended. But because of our prejudicial nature, we have gotten these ideas from people and from various aspects of our just living, and we put up these barriers and stated that if you don't think this way or believe this way, you can't be with me. And barriers are not of God. Barriers are of evilness. I don't recall which war it was, but it was in Europe. A couple of soldiers brought a sick comrade to the edge of a small village, and there they tended his wounds, but their comrade died. So they went to the church in town, which was a Catholic church. They went to the priest and they said, our comrade has died. We would like permission to bury him in the cemetery. And the priest said, no, you can't be buried in the cemetery because you're not Catholic. Well, this struck home, and it hurt deeply these soldiers because they had fought, and this man had given his life. They asked permission if they could possibly bury their friend on the outside of the fence of the cemetery, and permission was granted. And so they went there to that area outside the fence, outside that barrier, and they dug the grave and they buried their comrade. And they went away. Their plan was to come back the next morning and pay their last respects before they went on to catch up with their troops, with the other troops. When they returned the next morning, they couldn't find the grave. They knew they had buried their friend on the other side of the fence, but there was no grave there. And while they were trying to determine what was perplexing them, the priest came out. He said, I've been troubled by what, according to the law of the church, I have had to do, refusing you permission to bury your friend here in the cemetery. And so last night, I went out and I moved the fence to include your friend. He moved the fence. He moved it because of love.
You have been listening to a portion of one of the morning worship services at the Community Church. The Community Church is a non-denominational church and is located across from City Hall, Vanderhurst at Bassett. You may address your correspondence to Dr. Neil Carlson, King City. The preceding program has been produced by Foundation for Living.